The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus was passing through a field of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples began to make a path while picking the heads of grain. At this, the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of offering that only the priest could lawfully eat and shared it with his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That is why the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, in his context, in the context of his day, this is one of the boldest things that Jesus says, and it would have driven the Pharisees absolutely crazy to hear him say something like this, because of course, we know what the commandments are, and certainly the commandments are central to Israel as a people, and it's not simply that. They were pursuing moral rectitude in the eyes of God. It's not even that they were looking to gain God's favor by keeping the commandments. It's that the commandments set them apart as God's holy people. It's a big part of their story. It's a big part of who they consider themselves to be. And holding on to the commandments, especially the ones that are easily observable. They construct a kind of national identity, or even like this, more than like a national identity, because I think we had the wrong sense of we're not necessarily have the right sense of what that really means. But Israel is a people called by God, and so the outward signs that they are God's chosen people are very significant to them, and the story that they're trying to live out with their lives. So the challenge is that the agenda of the day doesn't seem to be all that close to what God intends for his people. And we can say that with confidence, because Jesus is often kind of in the teeth of this these disagreements, these challenges, these competing and conflicting agendas and the rest. And this one is just, it's very difficult. It would be very difficult for them to hear and not just be absolutely enraged by what Jesus is saying. When Jesus is saying that he has authority even over the Sabbath, right? Who does this guy think he is, really, right? And this is, it's one of those places where I like to dwell to some extent. Because we still in our day we have this sense of at least the people on the outside of these four walls, or however many walls there are, people on the outside of this building have some confidence when they say something like, Jesus is a good teacher. And I heard Elon Musk say the other day, I agree with Jesus's teachings. So which ones, because I don't see them all represented in your life. Like, which ones exactly do you agree with? But this idea that he's quite free to say, Jesus is a good moral teacher, I think is a real problem when you encounter a gospel passage like this. He's not a good moral teacher if that's all he is, because he's rewriting the entire story of Israel around himself. He's saying that he has authority over the Sabbath. I mean, that's a dangerous person. I mean, he's either dangerously deluded, or he's a liar, or he is who he says he is. I mean, this is C.S. Lewis's, right? There's a liar, lunatic, or Lord. If we take seriously what Jesus is saying and what he thinks about himself, then we have to fall into one of those camps. Good teacher isn't one of the choices. It's just not there. I mean, he's only a good teacher by virtue of the fact that he is who he says he is. Otherwise, he's a liar or a lunatic. So not to say this is the most important part of the passage, but we realize, when Jesus is saying these things, they look at him like, you're a dangerous person. And one of the, and let me say this is, so let me say my real preaching point for the day is that he is a dangerous person to the Pharisees, because he is the one then who's saying, I am going to shape the Israel agenda. And it all has to be reshaped around me. If the story of Israel is going to mean anything, it needs to be reshaped around me, Jesus. And it can't be the agenda that you all are pursuing for any number of reasons, but one of those reasons that pops up in this particular passage is that the agenda of the Pharisees is a dehumanizing agenda, or it's not a thoroughly humanizing agenda. And the Son of Man, Jesus, is going to enact a truly human agenda. And that means that he gets to reshape. And if if he gets to reshape this sacred institution of the Sabbath, which goes all the way back to the beginning, right? The seventh day, God rests. We're made in the image and likeness of God. We rest. Yeah. If Jesus is going to have authority over that sacred institution, what does he not have authority over? I'm not going to give him authority over my life. The guy's reshaping the Sabbath. You know, like he's reshaping the commandments around himself. What am I not going to give him authority over? Right? And it's not then just me personally, but how we come together socially, how we interact as a community, who we propose ourselves to be as his faithful followers to the world, and how the world has to be also reshaped through Jesus and his faithful people and the task that he gives them to take on. Now, but what are we content to allow to be as it is in our world, especially with the many dehumanizing agendas that are out there? What are we content to just, you know, let alone? Okay, well, that, you know, okay, we see people over here being enslaved in this way and being enslaved in this way. You know, we're okay with it because it doesn't really affect me. No, of course not. That cannot be the case. Right? Everywhere we interact with injustice, we have the effort to root it out. We have to resolve it. Right? Everywhere where we encounter something that is not of, that is clearly not subject to the rule of Christ Jesus, we have to go and endeavor to bring it under the rule of Christ Jesus. Because he is the Lord. He is the Lord. And of course, you know, it's hard to say that the agenda goes beyond these walls until it's, you know, until we really are taking it seriously ourselves. Right? If we are not going to live under the lordship of Jesus, well, then that's the end of the story. Who is if we're not? We're the people, we know that we have been chosen by God. Right? Go through the story again. We have been chosen by God to be about his purposes, to be about his work in the world. It's what it means to be God's holy people. We are those people. We've been chosen by him. Doesn't matter the people in this sense. It doesn't matter the people you live next door to and the people you interact with day in, day out. You have been chosen. Forget about them for a minute. You have been chosen by God to be about his purposes, to be his holy people, to be set apart so as to serve, to pour your lives out in service of God and for the good of the world. That's your call, right? And it's an incredible call. It's an enlivening call, especially when we realize that in order to accomplish the call, God is breathing his own life of love into us to sustain us and strengthen us so that we can be about the task. We are the world revolutionizing force that God always intended us to be. He set us apart for his purposes. When we look around and say, look, what's wrong with the world? Oh, I'm wrong with the world. Right? What's wrong with the world? We're wrong with the world. Have we taken up our task? Are we seeing it through to its completion? Are we being nourished and sustained by Christ so as to be about his work in the world? Or are we doing something? Are we living in some other story? Yeah, and this is the challenge for us. Again, Jesus is Lord. Let's break it down. It's all that matters in the end. Jesus is Lord. It's ours to trust and follow him. It's ours to be him in the world. We're made to be his body. It's ours to be him. And he is feeding us with his own body and blood to make it so. And if we ascribe then to any agenda, the only agenda that we ought to have is the Jesus agenda. That's it. No other agenda. Just the Jesus agenda. Everything else then will be shaped around him. Everything else follows from there.